So our text for this morning's meditation comes to us from Ephesians, these words: one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So our text: dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we are reminded of and celebrate the good work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League this morning, the LWML, which supports missions efforts around the world. As we contemplate missions efforts in general, then, today, the question is raised as to why. Why should there even be such missions efforts? Why should there be support of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world, like the support of the LWML for that task? Why should there even be a concern that people hear about and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior? From the eyes of the world, and popularly nowadays, so it seems, such efforts can be seen as some sort of theological colonialism on our part, which the point of missions efforts is just a projection of power and authority of some church body throughout the world. Another more modern way of looking at missions efforts is of simply the spread of Western culture, and with it, the bringing of individual liberties to oppressed people suffering under fascist regimes of one sort or another, or restrictive political philosophies. And still another way of looking at missions efforts is simply as opportunities on our part to interact with the peoples of the world, sharing with them the blessings that we have here in the United States. Of course, all such things can happen and have happened as a result of missions efforts, but missions efforts are really none of those things. Missions efforts are none of those things. They're instead the preaching of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation of all who believe, for the forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation, so that they can enjoy that life and salvation when they too believe in Jesus as their Savior. That is simply, really, all that missions efforts are. It's all they are. Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Him, you have the forgiveness of sin. But oh, that's mighty arrogant of us, isn't it? It's mighty arrogant to think that somehow we have the truth to share, we have the truth to give, we have the truth to teach, to proclaim to people all over the world. It is presumptuous in our part to believe those people who so often have their own gods and goddesses already that they worship, their own temples and places of worship, their own customs and manners, religious, somehow they need to be corrected. Somehow they need to be rescued, need to be changed, need to be something different and live in a different way than they are living now. I'd agree that it would be the utmost arrogance on our part if we ourselves were in the dark on such matters, that we are just like everyone else, as people all over the world. We've just used our logic, we've just used our reason, our feelings, our emotions, to strive somehow to come to a knowledge of the truth concerning our Creator or creators, concerning the gods and goddesses that might exist, angels and demons and all that. But the fact of the matter is, the truth is, what is real, is that for all people everywhere, there's only one God. One God and Father, one God and Father of us all, who created us all. And it is this one God and Father who sent His Son, Jesus, to dwell with us, to teach us, to suffer and die for us, to rise again from the dead for us, to ascend into heaven for us, to live and reign there for us. There's only one faith. And that is one reality of true religion, one baptism into our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know this. It is through this one Lord Jesus Christ we proclaim the truth of the one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. So our text. But what does that mean? What does it mean? It means that God is indeed present with all the peoples of the world, present over them and around them and in them, as we read in Acts 17, God has indeed placed within all mankind everywhere the desire to seek him and to find him. Thus, the efforts of man all over the world to worship something or everything or even man himself in order to receive some sort of divine blessing. But like orphan children who know that they have parents, but do not know who those parents are. Like orphan children who yearn for their parents but cannot find them, and so replace their parents with whatever parents society has to offer them, the people around the world seek to find the true God and yet cannot find him apart from Jesus Christ. Thus all the gods and goddesses of the world today are foster divinities that provide solace by the religious rituals that are enacted around them and for them somehow to give comfort to their followers, like the practice of putting flowers on a grave. Now there, listen up. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong at all with putting flowers on a grave. We put flowers on a grave to remember our loved ones and to honor them. We put flowers on a grave to show the world that we still love that person there and we still remember them. They're still part of us. We put flowers on a grave to somehow, some way, find the littlest bit of comfort by that action of ours. But we know that that's all that action can do. All that action can do, all that gesture can accomplish. But that's enough. It's enough when it comes to a cemetery and a loved one who has passed before us. But such a gesture is not enough when it comes to God himself and God and how God himself wants to be known and how God himself has made himself us, known to us today through his holy word. That's how we know the truth, through the holy word of God. You know, the best-selling book in the world is still the Bible. Still the Bible. 7,000 languages are spoken in the world today, we are told, and the Bible in its entirety has been translated into about 10% of them, a little over 10%, 724. The New Testament has been translated into 1,617 of them, and parts of the Bible into 3,589 of them, in the languages of the world. Why? So that the truth can be known. So that what God has said to man, specifically about his Son, Jesus our Lord, can be known by the entire world. Why? Why the entire world? Because we're all children of God. Every one of us, every person who exists now or has ever existed or will exist is an offspring of God, created by him. So the disciples of Jesus were instructed by God, the very Son of God, go! Go teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you. What's the attempt there by Jesus? The attempt to create one world government? No. The creation of one heavenly government, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, which until the Son of God returns on the last day to judge the living and the dead, until the final trumpet when all will be raised from the dead and eternal life with God, our Heavenly Father, will be granted to all who believe in his Son, yes, until that day appears, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven on earth, will not be an earthly kingdom. Won't be an earthly kingdom with one language and government. But it will be a heavenly kingdom. It will be a kingdom of hearts, a kingdom that exists throughout the world, in a multitude of language, under a score of governments, and existing in all sorts of cultures. The purpose? purpose of this heavenly kingdom created within the hearts of mankind everywhere? Peace, peace in all those hearts. Love for their neighbors wherever they live. Joy in their lives, whatever their situation, for whatever the country, whatever the language, whatever the culture, the gospel of Jesus brings with it, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who, having convicted the world of sin because it doesn't believe in Christ, and having convicted the world of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ who cannot be seen but grants to all who believe in him his righteousness. Yes, having convicted the world of sin and righteousness, the Holy Spirit then convicts the hearts of who hear and receive the gospel that Satan himself has been judged. That is the source of all their suffering and heartache and struggles and setbacks, is in fact not in control of the world, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ actually is. He's the one who's in control. So there then is comfort, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So wherever a Christian finds themselves in the world, he or she can sing with full conviction, I'm a stranger here. Heaven is my home. So the Christian then, comforted by the Spirit, living as a stranger here on earth, can live daily by faith, not by sight. And this literally changes the lives of all who believe wherever they may be. Why? They've learned to know who they are and where they're from, their status as children of a loving Heavenly Father in the here and now, and their future glory. They're no longer orphans seeking for their divine parent, but children. And being children of God, heirs of all the riches that the children of God inherit. So Romans 8, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That means daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So the work of the LWML. The LWML works continually to support the efforts of those who go into the world to proclaim to the world that they are children of God. Of God, their loving Heavenly Father, the divine parent for which they've been looking their entire lives but haven't been able to find. So here's not the effort to export overseas some sort of world culture or government or language or political point of view. For what are those things but aspects of the kingdoms of this world? Kingdoms which wield the sword to punish evil and execute justice on earth in these end times, as we read in Romans 13. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven, is understood to be such a sword wielding earthly kingdom. Its end will be that of an earthly kingdom, as history has shown us again and again and again and again. Christianized Rome, that is the Byzantine Empire, it no longer exists. Christianized Europe, that is the Holy Roman Empire, it no longer exists. And they no longer exist not because the gospel of Jesus is not the power of God for salvation to all who believe, for that is definitely what it is, but such worldly kingdoms which sought to use and manipulate and contour and control the kingdom of God on earth, in the end were simply worldly kingdoms. And they fell, just like they rose. Tempting, of course, is simply to export our culture overseas, and to dub that culture as Christianity, the kingdom of God. And that's certainly easy to do. Let's buy a roof for a church in Kenya and pat ourselves on the back that somehow we've furthered the kingdom of heaven. No. We've done a good work, helped the church there in its proclamation of the kingdom of God. That is a good work to do, as Paul taking an offering for the saints in Jerusalem who were suffering through a famine. But that collection was an act of love on Paul's part. Proclamation that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, is what truly spreads the kingdom of God throughout the world for the benefit, the wondrous benefit of those who hear the gospel of Jesus and believe it. To the extent that the LWML supports such an effort, which it does, and most mightily so, they're to be commended and by us supported. For are not we ourselves comforted daily by our sins being forgiven and our souls living in the reality that God is our loving Heavenly Father, to whom we too can cry, Abba, Father, Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian